I would go, but I would not take part in any nonsense. We'll talk here in a minute. Acts 17, if you want to read with me. It's page 1524 if you got a Bible like mine. Acts 17, we read part of it. We read it last week, but I wanted to read it again. Hallelujah. Acts 17, page 1524. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember, Paul's on Mars Hill where all the men of Athens are at. Okay? He's where they have their pantheon of gods. And we'll pick it up in verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling." Paul just said to the men at Athens, all men are of one blood, regardless of skin color. Amen. Amen. So that they should seek the Lord, verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him, in God, we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Bernie was talking about being born again and being a, are you going to be an Esau and operate out of your flesh all the time, or are you going to be a Jacob and be a spiritual being? Amen? That's what he was asking. Well, for us as Christians, God is our all in all. For in him we live. Amen. We move and we have our being. Without him, we wouldn't live. We wouldn't move. We wouldn't even be here if not for God. Amen? Amen. So we're about to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Melech HaOlam, the King of the universe. Amen. And in this season of upheaval in our nation, we need to remember that we are all of one blood. Amen. Amen. And we need to remember that the devil is a liar. Amen. And there are enemies out there to truth. Amen. Amen. And that's why we need to continue. I'm preaching the end of my message now. We need to continually be in contact with God. Amen. We need to continually be going back to that well for a drink. Paul called it being filled with the Spirit of God in Ephesians 5. Amen? Because without God, truth is hard to decipher. Amen? Unless you know that all truth comes from God. Amen? All knowledge comes from God. Glory to God. But you are also in for a treat. This morning's message is going to be part of our virtual youth camp. Okay? So I'm going to give a short economics class. You guys probably already understand it because you've worked, you've paid taxes, but a lot of young people haven't, you know. And they don't understand how if I make $1,000, 16% is going to Uncle Sam. Amen. Then another 7.5% Social Security. And then state tax. And then, okay, so there'll be a little economics lesson in this class for you, because this is going to be used for a youth camp. Amen? Virtual youth camp. Let's worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we love you today. We praise you. Father, we come before you on behalf of this march that's going to take place in Ironton. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of peace, a spirit of respect for each other, would be upon that movement, Lord God. And Father, we ask you this morning as we lift up praises to an awesome, mighty God, be enthroned in the praises of your people this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah. would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Who is free. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Through the sun sets free. Oh, it's free.
darkness. You're the only right among the wrong. You're the only hope among the chaos. You are the voice that calls me on, louder than every lie. My sword in every fight, the truth will chase away the night. Your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and the hopeless. Your name is faithful in the battle, glory in the struggle, light it will let us down and fill us. Your name is power. Shine upon and be gracious to you, Lord.
Almighty God. You know, the whole world needs to know that God is for them.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated in His presence. You're going to get two messages here this morning. I only charge you for one, so everybody relax. Turn with me to Numbers. Numbers, the sixth chapter, I believe. We just sang that song. That was the commanded blessing of God. It was the blessing that God commanded Moses to speak to Aaron. And Aaron, as the high priest, then would bless the children of Israel. Amen. And in Numbers chapter 6, page 183, if you got a Bible like mine, I tell you, the world needs this. America needs this blessing this morning. Verse 22 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you." That's what a father does. A father blesses his children. A father protects his family, and he provides for his family. That's the idea of keeping you. Then verse 25 says, "The Lord make his face shine upon you." Oh, glory to God. Now, I want you to picture a father. When my children were little, I would hold them up in the air and then bring their face down to me, you know, and kiss them and aggravate them. You know, I did that the other day to my, I guess she would be my great niece, wouldn't she? Renly Fern, what a name. She ain't no bigger than a peanut, but she's already the boss. You know, I got down and got some loving from her the other day. We were face to face, you know. When I think of God's face shining upon me, I think of God holding me, you know, like a father does a child. Or a mother does a child. Amen. And he says, "And be gracious to you." How many of you have tasted of God's grace? How many of you are born again today? Then you have tasted of God's grace. Amen. How many of you know America needs a taste of God's grace this morning? "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you." For the Lord to lift up his countenance upon you, that's a Hebrew idiom for favor you. Give you favor. Amen. Glory to God. "And give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Glory to God. Now that's the commanded blessing. But if you turn over to Psalms 133, Psalms 133, how many of you know that's a great blessing? You can pray that blessing over your children, over your family every day. Whenever I have to go into a meeting, I always ask God for his favor. "Let your face shine upon me now and give me favor." Or when my brother's talking to somebody from a company that has oil we could haul, I always pray for him. "Lord, bless him and give him favor in this conversation." Verse 1 of Psalms 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." America is not unified today. Amen. But the Word of God says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Heck, not only America or the world's not in unity, we got a lot of families aren't even in unity. Amen. We got a lot of husbands and wives not in unity. Amen. Verse 2. This is talking about the unity now, when the brethren dwell in unity. "It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edges of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." The commanded blessing that the psalmist is talking about is the blessing we just read in Numbers chapter 6. So unity is important if God's blessing is going to be upon a family, upon a nation, or even upon a church. If God's blessing, if we're not in unity in the church, we won't have God's blessing. If there's no blessing, there's no grace. You see what I'm saying? Amen. That's why unity is such a powerful thing in the mind of God. And we read in Acts before we started where Paul said, we are of one blood. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Bernie, don't let me forget to take up the offering. I'm going to go ahead and preach, if that's all right with you. Y'all, are you ready? I can go. All right. Now, I put this up here for you so you could see it. Now, if you came in a little bit late, most of this message, it'll be edited. Terry will edit it. But a lot of this message is going to be used in our virtual youth camp. So there might be some things. I might talk to the kids. And you're like, what? Huh? So if I'm talking to kids, you'll know what's going on. All right? Amen? We live in an age of disinformation. Huh? We live in an age of lies. Yes. Truth is kind of hard to come by. Amen. In the hour we live in. Amen. Amen? It's really hard. You can watch one person say one thing, one person say another. I watched a film clip of Ben Watson. He's he used to play in NFL. I think he's finally retired. He's got I don't know how many kids, but he's been a strong Christian, and he's never been afraid to speak about his Jesus. Amen. Amen. And he was speaking on a network about Jesus. They were asking him what the answer to all of America's problems, and he kept telling them, it's sin in the heart of men that only the blood of Jesus can cleanse. And they asked him again, and he answered again, and they cut him off. I mean, he just went black. And when I was looking at that, I knew what I was going to preach about. And when I saw that, I'm like, man, the world doesn't even want to hear truth. It's hard to find. And if you do find it, can you find anybody that wants to listen to it? Yeah. All right, we're on TV now. Help me. All right, here we go. I'm going to get you a microphone one of these days. You come here with me. We'll tag team. So let's look at truth here in the Bible. The word for truth in Hebrew is written like this, but you pronounce it emet, aleph, mem, tav. And emet is usually translated in your Bible as truth, okay? But it comes from this root word, aman. Same root word for amen, okay? We just sang about God's blessing, and we were singing amen. Amen is, it is so. It is on a firm foundation because it came from the Word of God. We were singing the Word of God, the promises of God to us, and we can say amen because we are in support of God's blessing. Because God's blessing is secure. You know why? Because God is El Emet. He is the God of truth. Amen. Now let me give you, all you prophecy experts out there, let me give you something here. You know, the Bible tells us that we are sealed by God. Amen. Well, let me tell you what the ancient sages say. This right here, the last three words in the Tanakh, or the Hebrew Bible, of the creation story. It's Genesis 2:3. Last three words say, Bara Elohim Leosot, which means, you ready? God created to do. God created to do. In your Bible, it says, it says made. All right? But in the Hebrew Bible, how many know it was originally written in Hebrew, right? To do. See, if I was back in the 16th century or whenever the King James was printed, I wouldn't know what to do with this to do either. Okay? I would have come up with something. Made fits there better. All right? But in the Hebrew Bible, it says, God created to do. Now, here's what the ancient sages say. They say, because the first letter, Allah, or wait a minute, where am I at here? Oh, I got this wrong. I'm confused. I get it now. Here we go. All right. Aleph is there. They say because the last three letters spell Emet, that God sealed creation with truth. Amen? Are you with me? I thought that was kind of neat. Because how do people know us? How do they know us? By the way we act. How about this? Let me break it down a little farther. How about if we live according to the truth of God's word? Because remember, God created to do. So in other words, truth is not something I simply know. It's something I do. It's how I live. Amen? Amen? And if I'm living by truth, now brace yourself, I can't compromise the truth that I know in God's word to keep a friend. Or I can't, if I'm really living by truth, I can't compromise truth I know in order for me to gain something. Amen. Right? Yeah. So truth is not simply something I know, it's something I do. It's how I live. Now you young people, I know you're watching. You young people, when it comes to truth, and some of you older people, like say to parents, do you always tell the truth? Or do you lie to escape the consequences? Huh? Oh, church folk do it all the time. Well, I was late because I couldn't get the old man out of bed. Huh? Come on. Have you ever been late for something and you kind of fabricated that so you wouldn't look bad, right? Okay. Now, so truth is not simply something we know. It's something we do. Turn to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. I might have you all sing with me. Any singers in here? All right. We're going to sing this old song. I know Debbie knows this old song because she's been doing children's church and nursery ever since I started preaching. Matter of fact, she was doing it before I started preaching. So not only will this be my 25th year in ministry, it'll be your 25th year in ministry this year. Actually, maybe more. Verse 21 of Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, lawlessness, corruption, living a life of lawlessness is just the opposite of living a life of truth. Amen. So Jesus is going to continue here. He's going to say, verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now you know the song we're going to sing. Huh? And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Yeah. That old Sunday school song, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Rains came down and the floods came up. The house upon the rock stood firm, right? But then there was the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the sand went splat. That was my favorite part when I was a kid. I was all ready for the splat, you know. When I was a kid, I kind of liked it then too. Amen. So, let me keep going. So truth is not... Truth is about doing. Amen. Truth is something that is part of you. How many of the Word of God should be part of you? I mean, the writer of Proverbs says we are to study that word diligently and to hide it in our heart. Because it's out of that heart flow the issues of life. What are the issues of life? We say it around here all the time. The issues of life are decisions we make. And I'm too old to be making decisions void of the Word of God. When I was younger, I had longer to live, and God had longer to work it out for me. But now that I'm getting old, I don't know how long I'm going to be around, you know. So I don't want to go through, I don't want to go the hurt, the pain, and all that stuff, you know, to give God, or in order to correct that. So I'm trying to make decisions based on the Word of God, the truth of God. Truth, well, Jackie asked a question today, and I'm going to answer when I get done. But Jackie, you asked a question. But as a Christian, the Word of God or the truth of God should inform all of our decisions. Amen?
Amen.
How many have you ever been lied to by someone you cared about? You didn't like it, did you?
No.
No, I don't know whether to say that and hurt your feelings or... Okay, turn to John 4. Turn to John 4, and then we'll talk about it. John 4. This is the story of the woman at the well, the one that had, you know, four husbands. And Jesus said, you've told the truth. You've had four husbands. The man you're with right now, you ain't married to. Right? He read her mail. But then he tells her, you know, she's a Samaritan. And she says, or Jesus tells her, well, let's pick it up in verse 21. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So I already asked you, have you ever been lied to by somebody you cared about? And you didn't like it, did you? Nobody likes it. Oh, my dad, man, you can tell him anything. You can do anything. He'll forgive you. But you lie to him, you have crossed the line. And he won't forget it. As he's getting older, he's starting to remember stuff way back. You need to pipe down there, fella, you know. Okay. So you didn't like being lied to. How about God? Jesus said, you must worship me in spirit out of your heart. Right?
Amen.
In spirit and in truth.
Amen.
The only way I can worship God in spirit and in truth is if, one, I'm blood-bought, born again, filled with his spirit, and I'm living a life of truth. I'm living my life lined up with the Word of God. Truth is a part of who I am. Otherwise, if I've been living like the devil all week, telling tales on people, gossiping about this one, gossiping about that one, and then I come into church, I'm lying to God. I'm lying to God because I'm not worshiping in spirit and truth. Anybody can come in and raise their hand, lift their hands, and sing a song. But only people who are living the life can come in and worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? All right, let me keep going. I'm trying to finish with a flurry, not a McFlurry. Now, let me show you something. What did I do with my eraser? I found it. If I take the aleph away from a met, all I get is the word met. You know what it means in Hebrew? It means death. So you take the aleph out, and it means death. Let me tell you about that first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, the aleph. The olive is so great, so extreme, the sages say, it is hard to describe in words because it represents the oneness and the preeminent glory of God. Now let's think about what they just said. It represents his oneness. He is God alone. But it also represents his preeminence. In the beginning, God. I told you Wednesday night, my favorite preacher, Bert Clendenin, he always said, if you can get by that first verse in the Bible, you can believe the rest of it. In the beginning, God. God was there. You know, all Hebrew letters have symbols. And the Aleph symbol is the ox head. Because its symbol is an ox head, it stands for a burden bearer. Amen? It's someone who could carry a burden. So if I've got, I wasn't going to do this, but see, they can't see that on TV, so I'll do this. If I've got an aleph and a tav, okay, this symbol I'll draw it here. We'll give him eyes. There's the ox head. And the symbol of the Tav, the ancient symbol of the Tav is that mark or that cross. So when Jesus comes along and he says, I am the Aleph and the Tav, the King James translates it Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega don't really mean anything to us. But what he would have said is, I am the Aleph and the Tav, I am the burden bearer. And where am I going to bear your burden? Right here on this cross. Amen. So even in the ancient pictograph of the Hebrew letters, it speaks of Jesus. Amen. His preeminence in creation. Amen. Glory to God. He is the wisdom of God who created all things. Now turn with me to John 14. You're in John 4, go to John 14. We're about to be finished. Yeah, not really. John 14. I still got 20 minutes. Somebody said, oh my Lord. John 14, verse 6. We got to read verse 1. Jesus is dealing with some religious folks here, you know. And he says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, watch what he says. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So those who deny the reality of Yeshua are spiritually dead. Do you know the whole nation of Islam? They deny the deity of Jesus. They believe Jesus was a man, but he didn't die. But God's keeping him hid somewhere. And one of these days, you know, when the Mahdi comes, they're going to loose old Jesus. And he's going to go around tearing down all these crosses and everybody that eats pig. That's what they believe. But according to my Bible, they believe a lie, right? So without Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, then they're spiritually dead. Let's run over to Zechariah. You're in John. You're going to go to Luke. Go to Mark, Matthew, Malachi, and Zechariah. Okay, so you're not going to go far. Zechariah chapter 8. Verse 16, page 1257. Got a Bible like mine. Verse 16, these are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. Let me read that again. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. This is what God requires of us, that we speak truth to the neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. You know, the elders in the ancient cities would sit at the gate of the city. And if Charles David and I had a dispute, we would take our dispute to the gate of the city, to the elders. Okay? Then the elders were required to give judgment for truth, justice, and peace. Amen? Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. Don't be having a negative attitude towards people. Huh? Come on now. We know people that aggravate us, but we're still required to pray for them. Amen. Now look at let's finish this verse. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. Swearing on the name of God or in the name of God, or I swear it's true, when it's not, is a false oath. Okay? All right. Now, let me quote you something from President Kennedy, JFK. JFK said, the great enemy of truth is very often not the lie itself, even though it may be deliberate, contrived, and dishonest. But the myth is persistent, persuasive, and unrealistic. We subject facts to a prefabricated set of interpretations. We enjoy the comfort of opinion. Now watch this. We enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought. So he said, the enemy of truth is not necessarily the lie. It's the fact that the lie keeps being told. It's persistent. It's persuasive, even if it's unrealistic. That's what Hitler did. Hitler wrote in his book, Mein Kampf, the big lie. He said, if you tell a lie long enough, loud enough, they'll begin to believe it. Amen. And that's what's happening in America right now. Right. We are void of the truth of God's word, but they're out there. It's loud enough. And they're persistent with it, and they just continue to perpetuate the lie.
Yeah. Amen.
And let me give you an example real quick. Two examples. Maybe I'll close. I got my economics lesson for the young people here. The politically correct, or the tolerance preachers, right? It sounds good not to say anything negative about anybody else. Sounds good. But the root of their reason for tolerance and political correctness is actually the theft of our freedom of speech, which is tied to our freedom of religion. See, if you can't talk about Jesus because it offends a Muslim, then I've lost my freedom of speech. Amen. If I can't speak truth, then they're stealing my freedom of speech. In Canada, you can't preach against homosexuality, even though it's prohibited in the book of truth.
Amen.
You can't preach against Islam, even though it's a false religion, a religion that is tied to death and not life. So while tolerance and the political correctness group, while it sounds good, it's really the undercurrent, or what they're after is the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion.
Amen.
Now, I got to give the young people an economics lesson. You young people, pay attention to me. Because you're hearing out there, unless you're living under a rock, you're hearing this stuff like free health care for everybody, free college tuition for everybody. Man, that sounds good. Sounds good. Sounds good to everybody but Amy, who's paying her student debt. Huh? Like the guy asked Bernie Sanders, he said, well, what are you going to do for me? If you're going to pay off everybody's student loans, what are you going to do for me? I worked two jobs and didn't go on vacation so I can get my pay for my kids to go through school. What are you going to do for me?
Yeah.
I thought that was a very good question. Yeah. Didn't have an answer. So now you young people, don't pay attention. I'm going to give you an economics lesson, because health care for everybody, free health care for everybody sounds good. Free schooling, college, sounds good. You know, free for everybody, sounds good. Free. But let me tell you, when you get a job, let's just say, to make the numbers easy on the old guy, you gross $1,000, okay? You gross $1,000. I'm going to put it over here too. All right? Now, you're going to get a 16% federal tax, which is $160. Right off the top, you're going to lose $160. So now you're down to $840, right? Okay? Now, on top of that, you're going to have a 7.5% Social Security tax. All right, and that's going to come to $75, because it's not going to come out of this. It's going to come off of this, okay, the top number. Okay, see, if it was 7.5% of this, it'd only be $63, but it's going to be 7.5% of this, which is going to be another $75, okay, which puts us down to what? Oh, $765. All right. Now, from there, we're going to, in Ohio, look this up, we're going to have $33 in state tax. Okay. So now we're down to $732 out of the original $1,000. And if you live in a city, you might have city tax. Okay. So you've made $1,000, but you only got 732. Now, if we're going to give free health care and we're going to give free college, now our 16% is going to jump up to a minimum of 40%. Now we're at $600. Because the reason I'm saying that is it's not really free. That's not the truth. Okay? But I heard somebody say, one of these nitwits on TV, they want to knock old people off their Social Security. Well, let me tell you about the Social Security tax. You worked, you earned it.
Amen.
Amen. You worked, you paid into it. Okay? All right. The guy that's getting free health care and free college, he ain't paid nothing yet. Sorry, he's not contributing. Hang with me, young people. He's not contributing to the pot. He's just taking out of the pot. So then we still got our $75 in Social Security here. So now we're down to $525. All right. And now we've still got our state tax. So now when we gave free health care and everything, free college, we're going to take home $492. That's a minimum. A lot of these nations that supply free college and free health care, the tax rate's 50%. Somebody say amen or me. That's about what it is in Israel. Okay? It's almost 50% in Israel. Our friends Brian and Sochi, they pay tax in America and then they pay tax in Israel. But like if they paid 16% here, they only pay 34% there, or whatever the tax rate is. But they got a slew of kids, so I'm sure, you know, they're getting some kind of deduction, right? All right, now turn with me if you would, real quick. We've got to have the answer for the lies and not the truth. John 18. Go back to John 18. No, skip John 18. Just go to John 8. John 8. Let's see what verse we want to go to. Verse 31. Then, page 1458. So, you got a little economics lesson. I had a young man tell me he had a free government phone. You know, but the president of that time gave him a free, you know, he got a free phone. And I had this same economics lesson with him. And he was at my house, oh, I don't know, a couple months ago when Dylan came to my house, and him and his girlfriend are expecting a child, but he's got a good job. And I said, how do you like paying him taxes at that single rate? You know, not only would it bless my heart if you married that girl, if you guys are in love, but it'd save you some tax money because you're paying that higher single rate, man. You know, so he said, I don't like it. You know, he said, I don't like it. Because he makes $20-some an hour, but, you know, as a single man, Uncle Sam gets right in there deep, you know. So, point is, the lie that's being perpetuated, free, 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 is actually not free at all. How about that? And right now in America, 51% of Americans are paying 100% of the bills. The 49% aren't contributing at all. So, just saying, when they tell you it's free, it's not. Let me keep going here. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Now, we're going to John 16, and we're about to close. John 16. Hallelujah. We're going to be done here shortly. Hallelujah. John 16, verse 5. Jesus is speaking and he says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus always will tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you these things to come. Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, and he refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Somebody say amen. And Jesus says, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit's not going to come. Amen. And you hear me talk about this all the time. Remember Acts 2, when they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, magnifying God in other tongues, Peter gets up and said, this is proof positive, this Jesus you have crucified is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's pouring out his Spirit. That was God's goal, to dwell in temples that he fashioned and made in you and I. And it is the Spirit of truth. And the Apostle Paul, my favorite apostle, over here in Ephesians chapter 5, says this. Ephesians chapter 5, page 1652, you got a Bible like mine. He says in verse 15, Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. In the Greek version of this, where Paul says, but be filled, it says, be being filled or be continually filled with the Spirit of God. You know, remember in the Torah, when the priests would take fire off the altar, piece of wood off the altar, and they would take it into the Holy of Holies and put it in the altar of incense. And they would burn incense in the holy place. Okay? Whose responsibility was it to keep the fire going? The priest. It's the priest's responsibility. Now, my Bible tells me in Revelation 1, chapter 1, that through the blood of Jesus, you and I have been made priests and kings. Amen. So it's up to us to keep the fire burning on the altars of our heart. Amen. It's up to us to continually be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? What does that mean? How can I do that, Pastor? Number one, give God 10 minutes in the morning. Amen. I didn't say an hour. Give him 10 minutes. Yeah. Hopefully he'll get so good, gooder and gooder and gooder, you know, that you'll want to give him 10 more minutes. Amen. Or if you're not a morning person, give him 20 minutes in the evening. See, I doubled it on you if you're going to do it in the evening. You're going to take the easy way out. Then he's going to speak to God. Ask God to fill you. Pray that blessing in Numbers 6, verses 22 over you and your family. But give God some time. Amen. I'm telling you, we live in a time where the social media and the television, I mean, it will suck you in. I remember when the Gulf War started, I couldn't wait to get home to watch some more of that. When I was a kid, you know, we'd get off the bus out there on Camel Drive, and me and my cousin Paula and Kathy, we would run to Aunt Beth's house in order to get there in time before Dark Shadows started. We had to get another fix of Dark Shadows. But I always went home. We didn't live maybe 50 yards apart, but I always went home before it got dark. Old Barnabas Collins might have been lurking out there, you know. Oh, I see some of you watched it too. See, I had to have a Dark Shadows fix. Thank God I've been delivered from that. I need a God fix every day. Amen. If I'm going to walk in truth, if I'm going to treat people right, and let me back up a minute. I don't want anybody to think that I always do that. You know, that I'm just this guy that gets up in the glory cloud of God. I get up just like you. My Lord, where's some coffee? You know? Or I hit the snooze button. And I don't always treat everybody right. But I am quick to go back and apologize and make it right. But you know what? What America needs is a God fix. And what we need, what Christians need, is we need a God fix. We need to be carrying that truth of God outside these four walls. Amen. They need to see it in our attitude, our conduct, and our actions every day. Amen? Amen. All right, let's take communion. Well, it's been a while. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Well, I got the communion, so we'll take the offering. Don't anybody leave. Oh, you got it? All right. Good deal. I follow you. Hallelujah. God is good. We might do a retake, Terry, for the kids. That was pretty long for the kids. I break it down for them. I say glory to God. He is good. Good song would be good right now. Just a little light music. Hallelujah. Listen, folks, you do need to be praying for America. Praying for our president. Our police. You know. Hallelujah. Tonight, tomorrow night,
hear the word roaring as thunder with a new.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a minute. Let's finish.
For the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell.
Let's finish communion and talk about that. And the whole floor. Or not.
To the skies, heavy with blessing, lift your eyes. Offer your heart, Jesus Christ. Open
Father, we thank you for the precious Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are made whole. And Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our heart, in remembrance of you, and remembrance that you are. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You are the immerser, baptizer, and the Holy Spirit. You are our high priest interceding for us, and you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body this morning. Hold your cup up. On three, we'll say L'chaim to life. One, two, three. L'chaim to life. Let me know we serve a God of life, not death, life. Amen. We know this cup represents the blood of Jesus. At Calvary, Lord Jesus poured out his life that we could have his life in us. Amen. It also represents that third or fourth cup in a Jewish betrothal ceremony. It represents our vow of fidelity and faithfulness until he comes. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, and as a vow of our fidelity and faithfulness until you come, we drink of your life. Now, does anybody need an offering envelope? Anybody need an offering envelope? We receive your hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for seed week sowing your kingdom. We thank you, Father, and place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God. You'll multiply it, use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.